the rest of the story. It was an all-American dog, meaning mostly something else, scruffy little mutt. But Ingrid loved it. She'd brought it home from the Montgomery County Humane Society that very evening. And there it sat on her kitchen floor, looking up at her with hopeful eyes, seeming to ask, "Is this home?" Ingrid smiled back at the tiny creature. It was dinner time, she announced, not expecting the eager tail-wagging response that followed. It was as though the dog had understood her, so Ingrid kept talking. "This must be a very special meal," she said, opening the can with a picture of a well-groomed terrier on it. The little mutt gobbled the food down. There'd surely been few adequate feedings in its life. Before being scooped off the street and deposited at the shelter, it had probably lived off garbage when it ate at all. "It's okay now," Ingrid said softly, stroking the dog as it devoured its dinner. "You're with me now. Tonight, you are wanted." There was lots more petting and cuddling after that. There were more soft words, and Ingrid watched with great satisfaction as her little companion grew less hesitant and less fearful, even pleased with itself and its affectionate mistress and its good fortune, undoubtedly for the first time in its life, and certainly for the last time. Well, this is the rest of the story. Ingrid had sort of backed into her job at the local Humane Society in Poolsville, Maryland. She'd taken some abandoned cats there for a neighbor, but was so appalled by the filthy conditions that she volunteered to clean the cages for free. And eventually she went on staff and got the job nobody wants, euthanasia. Some of the doomed animals were sick or injured, but most were owner giver-ups or otherwise abandoned, just plain unwanted. So Ingrid grew determined to spread whatever love she could into those about to be extinguished lives. Each night, before some of the shelter residents had to be destroyed, she would take home the ugliest and the unlikeliest one, the one that appeared to have had the toughest go of it. She would take it home and give it a special meal and shower it with all of the attention and affection that it had never known before it was time to say goodbye. And the longer this went on, the deeper was the ache in Ingrid's heart. And the more she wished for an alternative to the terrible cycle, limitless procreation, and inevitable extermination. And she promised herself that if such an alternative were possible, she would find it, she would nurture it. But today, as every humanitarian knows, there is an organization called PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. The names of its co-founders are legendary in humane circles, and one of those names is Ingrid Newkirk. But now, whenever you think of her, there will be this picture indelibly etched in your mind of a young woman preparing nightly feasts for ragged little guests, a seemingly endless succession of last suppers and last nights of stroking and neighborhood strolls and unqualified love. There are those, among them even some friends of mine and some friends of hers, who say that Ingrid Newkirk is perhaps too passionate about animal matters, that she's too passionate about making the pain go away, that she wants the world to change too quickly. Well, if that is so, at least now you know the rest of the story.